You see, the pioneers were dependent on one of the most ancient, I suppose the most ancient method of preserving foods. Naturally, canning came, Pasteur, I suppose, is the man who made canning possible. He learned to that heat, you know, would destroy organisms that would be in food. So after his invention came along, and I think that was, what, a couple of hundred years ago or longer? My history's a little rusty, too. Then, of course, that from that point on, canning was possible. And then, of course, in a much more recent time, refrigeration.
Before the canning and all our modern conveniences, besides drying apples, what other foods did they dry, do you remember?
Well, of course, grapes, you could dry most any. Peaches.
Potatoes.
I've seen my mother make pies many times of peaches that had been dried. Now, she didn't dry. They were bought in stores that way. If you go back 50 years, or certainly maybe 75, stores didn't have these coolers and that kind of thing. And so they would have such things as barrels full of dried apples or dried peaches or something like that, because you see they would keep indefinitely that way. And of course, dry and foods is still a big industry in California and some states like that. Well, of course, as you know, the raisin is simply a dried grape. And of course, dried prunes and things like that, you frequently see those. It's not, it has not been outdated at all. Drying has, for thousands of years, has been a method and still is. Well, I mean, it's used commercially. Used commercially. Well, I suppose in some secluded areas, I suppose maybe in some of the mountain regions of the Carolinas, perhaps. There might be some places in Appalachia and so on where maybe drying is still practiced. But I think the most part it's a commercial process, because they can dry it very quickly now, you see, with ovens and what have you.
How about the houses back then? Did they afford much warmth if you had a winter like this one has been?
Well, actually, if you go back to the time of the log houses, those weren't bad. Because what they did, they would, the logs fit together, you can imagine, just, you know, just like two rollers. Mm-hmm. So where they fit together is very narrow. And there's a crack there which cold air could come in. But they would perhaps tack on the outside some smaller thing to kind of fill that up, and then they go on the inside and daub clay so that it was very tight. Now, some of it will get knocked out during the summer and so on, but every winter they could go over and seal off all the pin holes that they find, and it is quite snug. I would think the log house was just as warm as, say, the frame house.
Well, flooring in your log house.
I believe they call those puncheons, did they not? Where a log is, you hew off with your adze the top part of the log, so it's flat, just notch the round part down, and the flat part is left up, you see. Well, they can make very nice floors. Yes, sir. Well, let me get to the main drawing and then let me discuss it then, because
okay. I really appreciate this drawing of the house. How is the overall size of the old homestead? Do you remember?
Well, you see the two rooms in front were approximately the same size. And I would estimate, that's the best I could do now, that they were about, I'd say about 14 by 15. And if you notice that the bedrooms in the back are considerably smaller, there was a single double bed in each one of those rooms. And you see, my parents, they were seven of them.